This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا. وجاء في مقام آخر: ومن قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. صدق اللہ العظیم. Respected اساتذہ کرام, علماء کرام, dear friends and my beloved elders in Islam, from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this world, the most valuable creation of Allah is the creation of humankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this message time and again throughout the Holy Quran. Allah says in one place, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We honored the humankind, the children of Adam alayhi salam. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And we gave them the power to travel on the earth and in the oceans. وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And we sustained them with pure sustenance. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. And we gave them superiority over all the other creation of Allah. And to emphasize on the human rights. In another place Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If one of you has to kill another without any valid reason, it is as though he has killed the whole of humanity. And if one of you has to save one life, it is as though he has protected and saved the whole of humanity. These are the human rights mentioned in the Holy Quran. Let us understand the gravity of these verses with this example. A few months ago, in the month of April, in Sri Lanka, 3 churches were bombarded. 258 people died. The next day, the social media, the newspapers, the news channels, the people around the world, everyone was on fire, and they showed support in their own way. Similarly, few days before that, in New Zealand, in a masjid, 60 people were killed at once. And the same reaction was given by the people around the world. Like, how can someone kill 60 people at once, or 258 people at once, and not feel guilty about it, or get away with it? So Quran says, forget about 60. Forget about 258. You kill one person, you have killed the whole of humanity. Those are the human rights mentioned in the Holy Quran. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, once he narrates that once Musa alayhi salam asked Allah that, oh Allah, guide me towards an action which encompasses and combines all the good deeds and all the kindness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, Musa, أَسْحِبِ النَّاسَ بِمَا تُحِبُّ أَن تُسْحَبَ بِي. O Musa, be a companion to people the way you would love to be accompanied. O Musa, be the kind of human you would love to have around you. It comes in another narration. Abdullah ibn Hashim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that once Ta'us rahmatullahi alayhi said to him, O Abdullah, shouldn't I summarize the whole of the Quran for you? The whole of the gospel for you, the whole of the Psalms for you, the whole of the Tawrat for you. And Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi replied in the affirmative. And Taus rahmatullahi alayhi said, Abdullah, fear Allah alone more than anyone else, and have hope in the mercy of Allah more than his fear. And last but not the least, love for others what you love for yourself. That is the summary of the whole Quran. Fear Allah, have hope in the mercy of Allah, and love for others what you love for yourself. So all these verses of the Holy Quran and all these sayings of the pious predecessors are teaching us about the human rights in Islam. And if we have to understand the way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Prophet Muhammad, we have sent you as a mercy. To who? To Muslims? No. To Christians? No. To Sabians? No. To Buddhists? No. To Jews? No. To Hindus? No. To animals? No. To human beings? No. To jinns? No. Then for who? Lil alameen, for the entire universe, for each and every creation of Allah, you are a mercy. That is what Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Quran. And our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a mercy to mankind. He was a mercy to children. He was a mercy to women. He was a mercy to non-believers. He was a mercy to his enemies. It comes in narrations that upon one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was seated with the Sahaba, and a janazah passed by. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up out of respect, out of honor. And the people around him say to him that, O Prophet Muhammad, it's a Jewish mayyit. It is the janazah of a Jew. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns to them and says to them, isn't he a human? Isn't he a human? Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a mercy to women. We have to understand that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent as a prophet to the people of Makkah, the environment of Makkah was such that they considered women as substandard, and they disregarded and disrespected women. And amidst that tension, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asked, who is the most beloved person to you on the surface of this earth? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam replies, my wife Aisha. My wife Aisha is the most beloved person to me. The people around him are shocked. A woman is beloved. Now this was quite a heavy dose for the Sahaba to swallow. So they asked again, who's the second most beloved person after Aisha? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Abuha, the father to Aisha. He didn't say Abu Bakr. He again referred to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in order to mention Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is the honor given to women by Islam. And it is teaching us what honor we are supposed to give to them. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a mercy to children. He was clement to children. A beautiful narration. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the son to Hazrat Fatima and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Hussein had a stuttering problem. He couldn't speak properly. It would take him forever to finish a sentence when he was young. And this is a very traumatic situation for the development of the child, especially when the elderly brother, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, was more eloquent and he was a gifted public speaker. So imagine the pressure Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu went through. Now, on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated with the Sahaba, and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is seated with them. And now Hazrat Hussein starts to speak with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's stuttering, and it is taking him forever to finish his sentence and what he's trying to say. Now, knowing the man Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, who would always give his full attention to someone who spoke to him, and who would turn his whole body towards someone who spoke to him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is seated with the Sahaba, but he turns to Hazrat Hussein, and he doesn't interrupt Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He waits for Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu to finish what he said. And it starts to become awkward to such an extent that the Sahaba, naturally, not viciously, they start exchanging glances, because they are feeling sorry for Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So they mention that we were looking at the reaction of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a big old smile on his face when he was talking to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and he waited for Hazrat Hussein to finish. After Hazrat Hussein was done, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to the Sahaba and he says to them, لَقَدْ وَرَثَهَا عَنْ أَمِّهِ مُوسَى. He inherited this quality of stuttering from his uncle Moses, from his uncle Musa alayhi salam. Hadrat Musa alayhi salam used to stutter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed the negativity into positivity. And he told the Sahaba, don't feel sorry for him. Be happy for him. He shares one of the trait with one of the greatest prophet, Musa alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood what that child needed at that moment. It was love, compassion, and acceptance for who he was. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave it to that child. So a Nabi was a mercy to children. He was a mercy to non-believers and his enemies as well. It comes in a narration that after the battle of Badr, the captives were presented in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now from among the captives, one captive by the name of Suhail ibn Amr, who had a very fiery tongue and a very harsh tongue, and who denounced the Prophet of Allah. So Hazrat Umar, a strong man, he says that, O Prophet of Allah, let us teach him a lesson by removing his lower teeth, so that he does not misuse his tongue against you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at Hazrat Umar and he says to him that, O Umar, if I were to do what you are saying, then tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will disfigure me, despite the fact that I am his messenger. O Umar, if I were to do what you are saying, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will disfigure me despite the fact that I am his messenger. This is the behavior. These are the akhlaq of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what he taught us. And what have we done to this ummah today? Hey kafir, hey mushrik, hey alcoholic, hey fornicator, hey on haq, not on haq, on truth, not on truth. We have shattered and scattered ourselves into pieces, my brothers and elders. We have scattered ourselves. For some, with the name of deen. For some, behind the shadow of concern. We have disunited ourselves. The message is not to forget our teachings or to compromise with our beliefs and with our roots. The message is to not to forget the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To not forget the noble concern of humanity which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had when implementing those teachings. Respected elders and friends, we really have to understand that if this is the status of a human in Islam, then what more about the status of a believer? What more about the status of that person who has La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart? What must be his status in the eyes of Allah? Today, most of the quarrel, most of the arguments, most of the dispute amongst us is because we haven't realized the status of a believer. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is circumambulating the Kaaba, Hadrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala, who mentions this narration, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is circumambulating and he stops and he addresses the Kaaba and he says, O Kaaba, ma atyabuki wa ma atyabu rihuki. O Kaaba, you are so pure and the fragrance flowing from you is so pure. Ma a'zamuka wa ma a'zamu hurmatuk. O Kaaba, you hold such a high status in the eyes of Allah and in the eyes of the believers. But regardless of what your status is, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَحُرْمَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ حُرْمَتِكِ. Regardless of what your status is, the status of a believer in the eyes of Allah is loftier than your status, O Kaaba. That is the status of a believer in the eyes of Allah. And that is why Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who used to say that I can tolerate that the Kaaba is broken into pieces, but I cannot tolerate that the heart of a believer is broken and Hadrat Umar is still alive. I cannot tolerate that. And at the time of Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the akhlaq of the people was such that the non-believers preferred paying tax and staying amongst the Muslims because they felt more secure and more safe staying with the Muslims. It comes regarding Abdullah ibn Mubarak in one narration, in another narration, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, that one of the two had a Jew neighbor, a Jewish neighbor. And when that Jew wanted to sell his house, he kept the amount of the house double the market value. And when the people asked him the reason, he replied that half the amount is the market value and the other half amount is because the house falls next to a Muslim. It falls next to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Abdullah ibn Mubarak. That is the ummah we belong to, my brothers. Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, لا تغرنكم تنتنة الرجل بالليل في صلاتي. إن الرجل الرجل من أدى الأمانة إلى من ائتمنه ومن سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. That a complete man is he who together with his salah, who together with his fasting, who together with his zakah, does not harm the other believers with his hands or with his tongue. And today most of our problems are related to this tongue. If we learn how to control our tongue, we have learned 90% of akhlaq. Only if we learn how to control our tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated with Hadrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, O Mu'adh, ala umbiuka bi milaki hadha kulli. Mu'adh, shouldn't I summarize the whole of deen for you? The whole of religion, Islam for you? Hadrat Mu'adh says, yes, O Prophet of Allah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds the tongue between the two fingers like this. And then he says, Kuffa hadha, kuffa hadha. O Mu'adh, protect your tongue. O Mu'adh, safeguard your tongue. And who is Hadrat Mu'adh? Hadrat Mu'adh is that companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who's going to hold the flag of scholars on the day of judgment. He's one of the greatest scholars of our ummah, and he is taught like a child. He is taught like a child to take care of the tongue. So respected elders and friends, we have to control our tongues. Before I go ahead, an announcement that the donation which is taking place is only lillah. People are requested to put lillah money for donation and no other money. Jazakumullahu khair. So brothers and elders, we are supposed to protect our tongue. If we learn how to control our tongue, we have learned half of akhlaq. And there is a reason why I say this. Recently, a youngster met me a few days ago. And he said that, Maulana, I entered our masjid. And together with me, an elderly person entered. So out of respect, I offered him the chair so that he could pray Quran. There was a third person seated in the masjid who said to me that tane mirasma kasu dei nathi devana. He's not going to give you anything in from his inheritance. Why? Brothers are requested to come forward so we can make place for the brothers who are standing outside. Brothers are requested to come forward so we can make place for the brothers who are standing outside. Jazakumullahu khair. So, that youngster says, this is what he was told, that you are not going to receive anything from his inheritance. Look at the way we are using our tongues. Firstly, we attacked the intention of that youngster, and secondly, we taught him not to respect the elders. It comes in narrations that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be brought in front of Allah, and his deeds will be weighed. And he will be worried about his deeds because the scale will be unstable. And at that moment, a cloud will appear and it will add weight to the right side of the scale. And the person will be relaxed because now he's going to Jannah. So he will ask the angel, what was the cloud about? And the angel will reply, those were your good akhlaq and good character. Today they have protected you from going into Jahannam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, a man who served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years, has been told by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Anas, shouldn't I inform you about one of my greatest sunnah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying himself, shouldn't I inform you about one of my greatest sunnah? And Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who says yes. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Ya bunayya, in istata'ta aw in qadarta, O my child, if you manage, if you are capable of doing it. The message hidden behind is that it is not an easy thing to do. The sunnah is not the sunnah which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to inform. It is not an easy sunnah. So if you can manage, an tusbiha wa tumsiya, every morning, every evening, not one day or 2 days thing, every day till the last breath of your life, laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin, try and keep your heart clean regarding everyone. And this is what I would respect to my brothers today, to go home with this sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest sunnah. And respected elders and friends, the month of Ramadan came with two purposes. Firstly, to gain Allah conscious. Secondly, to acquire compassion for those people who are in need, who are poor, and to come out of the comfort zone and spare a thought for those whose every day is Ramadan. Not only the month of Ramadan, but every day is Ramadan for them. Due to whatever reason, political, economical, financial, whatever reason. That is what Ramadan taught us, humanity. And I wouldn't be fulfilling my duties if I go ahead without mentioning about those brothers who are suffering in different parts of the world. Let us show concern for them. Let us show humanity towards them. We had a peaceful Ramadan, alhamdulillah. We should thank Allah for that. We might have asked our children what they want for Eid. They must have said a toy, a tab, a phone. But go and meet that boy who, when asked that what do you want for Eid, he says, I want my dead father. Or go and meet that mother who, when asked what do you want for Eid, she says, I want my lost family. So my brothers and elders, Islam is all about humanity. The message of Ramadan is humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice on whatever has been said, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us humanity. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.